never rests.
A beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Welcome in. Sunday, and we're a little late coming on, and you can probably guess why here on the Georgia Show. Watching an incredible Masters finish, Rory McIlroy completes the Grand Slam. I'm excited for him, Rusty. I feel good.
Oh yeah, man. You can see the raw emotion on him. That dude, I just tweeted out, Jake, I don't want to know what that guy's life would have been like had he given that one away. I mean, it was a pretty rough last hour for that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Rusty, a big one. And as always, the Georgia Show presented by our friends at American Pride Bank. Look, guys, American Pride Bank is your community bank with local bankers and local decision makers who understand your needs. They offer personalized service, flexible lending option, and a commitment to growing your business. Visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank today. American Pride Bank, your community bank, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. Again, that's AmericanPride.bank. Good friends of ours, and they always come out for us. Speaking of coming out, the Dogs were out on the field yesterday, Rusty, back in Sanford Stadium between the hedges in front of a live crowd and everything.
Yeah. And
it was G-Day on the books for the Dogs, and I don't know that there was anything particularly surprising that came out of this one. The Dogs threw it, I believe, like 85-ish times, roughly. They kept the thing in the air. Gunnar Stockton looked to have the better day statistically over Ryan Puglisi. Jake Rowe and I talked earlier, and he said that in his mind, it was pretty clear who the guy leading the field is right now when it comes to the quarterback position at Georgia, and that's Gunnar Stockton. I'm curious, Rusty, do you feel the same way, and what was your takeaway from the quarterback battle that we saw on Saturday?
Yeah, I clearly think this is Gunnar Stockton's job right now. You know, I think at times yesterday, both quarterbacks had some really good throws. Both quarterbacks had some times where you just like, oh, boy, they had some drops. They had some good plays. It's a spring scrimmage, controlled scrimmage. They throw the ball 85 times. I mean, it was almost like a 7-on-7 tournament mixed in with a couple of inside runs every now and then. So, you know, I think it's still clear it's Gunnar Stockton's. But Ryan Puglisi, you know, as we mentioned on the dog walk, he's taking some steps forward, and kid's got some tools, you know, and I think people kind of quick to think that this guy should be the starter right now. And then when you hear that Gunner's got the job, they're like, well, this kid's not going to make it. I mean, man, there's just so many different and crazy expectations on everybody in that room. Gunner's the most experienced player. It's his job right now. I don't think it's completely slammed shut. I mean, that's going to be there on a compete, and you'll see how that plays out in the fall. But I think Ryan Puglisi did. I think Ryan Puglisi had a good, good game yesterday, did some things well. And it's kind of hard, man, to tell because such a big part of Gunner's game is running. And, you know, there were times where he probably would have taken off running, but he probably just tried to force a little bit, get some action, throw the ball, things like that. So the biggest thing that worried me, period, the biggest thing, and I said this, you know, on the dog walk, the biggest thing that worried me from both quarterbacks were the amount of batted balls. And that's something you're talking about dangerous now. I mean, that is dangerous. And I think there was 8 or 9 batted balls between them, I think Gunner had 5 and Puglisi had 4. I'd go back and look, check my notes, but it's a lot of dang batted balls, man. You do not want that happening in games.
Yeah, I saw pass breakups 13 for one team. I think it was Team Red, if I'm not mistaken. Just outrageous to see those kinds of numbers put together. I want to kind of go a quick hitter position by position, Rusty. It looked like big numbers for Bo Walker, delivering on some of the hype that we had for him kind of going into this thing, which is good news for Georgia. But also, too, a name that kind of crept in there and I think caught a lot of eyes, Chauncey Bowens got in there and really made some people take notice. What kind of was your takeaway from what we saw running back-wise on Saturday? Because, like I said, Bo Walker, big, big news if he's that dude.
I think Bo Walker kind of lived up to what everybody had been hearing. I think Chauncey Bowens is the guy that kind of surprised, because I'll be honest with you, I have heard he has not had the best spring. You know what I mean? He's kind of a just kind of got lost in the shuffle with the emergence of Bo Walker. Nate Frazier certainly is the number one guy. He's the number one running back, but I think Bo Walker kind of put some distance between himself and some other guys. So you like it that Chauncey Bowen's in front of the, you know, the biggest stage he was in this spring, had a great game. I thought he had a couple plays where he created yards. You know, I've said this for years. I don't really care what you run the 40 in. Can you make it third and three instead of third and seven? And that's what I like, what I saw yesterday at Chauncey Bowen's. People were having a hard time getting him down. I thought Bo Walker, it's hard to share and talk about because everybody didn't get to see the game, but they threw a pass to him out in the flat. And, man, he got into fifth gear so quick and was up the field. That really – it's been a while, man, since I've seen Georgia backs in a game make me people miss and what I call like small space. You know what I mean? These are all, you know, elite athletes, but can you do it in a game? So I like what I saw yesterday, but I do think Chauncey Bowen's this kid that he took a step forward yesterday and said, don't forget about him just yet, because everybody knows about Nate Frazier. Now you know about Bo Walker, but Chauncey Bowen's probably gave Georgia a better feeling coming after yesterday, going, okay, that's what we want to see out of you. And maybe that jump starts him into the summer and where he can be as we get into fall camp.
Yeah, you know, and the thing I always liked about Bowens was his build. He's a big, thick guy. I mean, yeah, he's not exactly the tallest dude on earth, but he is. I mean, he's real muscled out. I mean, he's got some juice to him. And perhaps not – obviously, everybody hoping Branson Robinson come back and be that guy that he always has been. But Bowens kind of built a little bit like that, in my opinion.
Yeah, thick kids and – right. You know, you don't want them build like an igloo cooler, but you know, you want guys that bounce off. You know what I mean? So, I remember seeing Chauncey Bowens down at a FBU camp down in Naples, and that was the first thing I thought about, this dude's put together now. And certainly when you start thinking about Georgia running backs, SEC running backs, those types of things. So, be interested to see where, you know, how things fall for him when, you know, get running backs healthy. I do think, I've said this before, I still think that Georgia takes a look in the portal. If there's a guy they think that can come in and help, they needed it last year. I mean, Trevor Etienne, it was a while. Nate Frazier was playing banged up. You know, Branson Robinson, these guys were out. They needed depth there. So it would not shock me at all to see guys, see if Georgia, somebody gets in the portal they like at running back. It would not surprise me to see Georgia at least make some contact there.
Rusty, let's talk a little bit about pass catchers. They got out there and put together some, you know, respectable numbers. I mean, Ethan Barbour got targeted 9 times on the day. Mm-hmm. Lennon Humphreys with a big catch. I'm just curious. This was a huge crop of pass catchers that they brought in this class. And there's some experienced options out there as well. The Dylan Bells of the world, a transfer like Zach Branch, for example. What kind of caught your eye out of that group of guys?
I think you're looking at the early on, we had some drops, and I thought, golly, man, I mean, what is going? This is a new group of kids, and they're dropping the ball, and they still had some what I would call routine drops. But then you go back and you look at those contested catches. You go back and look at a play that Sakovi White caught with a guy draped all over. You go back and look at a touchdown that Zachariah Branch caught with a guy draped all over. You go look at a touchdown Kobe Young caught. And, you know, I told Jake last night, I said, Jake, that's a spring game. But they caught 4 or 5 balls yesterday that they didn't catch in 14 games last year. And they didn't. And that's what really excites you, because sometimes you have to out-athlete people. You got to have that guy that can go get a ball, can take it away or make a tough catch. CJ Wiley makes a one-handed catch, you know, on the sideline. And I know if I'm the defender, I'm going, what else can I do? But sometimes that happens. And CJ Wiley, true freshman, makes a one-handed catch. I thought Talon Taylor, those guys. So, you know, the routine drops early on, you go, oh God, but that didn't overshadow to me the bigger picture. And that was Georgia made contested catches. And I'm just telling you, they didn't do it last year for whatever reason. They couldn't do it consistently. They didn't do it very much at all. And yesterday they had 4 or 5 catches that you go, damn, that's exactly what this team needs.
Offensive line wise, look, this isn't really the place or time to evaluate those guys, in my opinion. It's just a little bit different speed than what they're going to be used to. It's not like they're just mixing it up in the trenches and punching each other in the mouth during the spring game. But physically, Rusty, the returns on Ja Jackson and our man Juan Gaston proven to be true, I think. I think there were some guys that kind of did. Jake Rose said he felt like Ernest Green had a good day as well out there. But again, not a complete product out there. I am just curious, how do you feel about those guys physically? How does this offensive line look in that regard? And then what else do they kind of need to solidify moving into this this fall?
Well, offensive line is getting in sync. And I think when you get Monroe Freeland back, how is the line going to settle? Where's Juan Gaston going to be in the mix? Because Juan Gaston's playing. Now, he might not start, but he's going to be in the rotation. Is he going to play right tackle? Is he going to play right guard? Is he going to play guard? Is he going to play tackle? How are you going to get this? So with offensive line guys, I think the one thing you look at Georgia, they played a ton of people this spring, played a ton of guys. It was a great time for those guys. I don't do the grading, and now we don't have a replay, so you can't go back in and watch all the O-line stuff. So you have to kind of pick your choose your battles there. I thought they got I'll be honest with you, I thought Drew Bobo was probably the guy that, you know, there wasn't a lot of penetration from up the middle with him. I thought the guards got beat a couple of times inside. But you also got to understand it's a spring game, and that defensive line knew they were throwing the ball 85 times, so they had their ears pent back. You know what I mean? Nobody was respecting the run. Nobody's protecting the gap against the run, and you're just flying up the field. So it was one of those deals. Almost like you were down, you know, 28 to nothing, and the defense knew you had to throw the ball every single play, so they had their ears pent back. So I don't think it was anything alarming there. I just think with Georgia, you ask what they got to do forward. I think they got to get their guys they're going to go forward with. And hammer that out through fall camp. They got some very talented young players, man. This is not – I watched – I was kind of so juiced, and all the Nico news. I came home last night, and I watched the first half of the Tennessee game. And I'm sitting there watching the first half of the Tennessee game. Yeah, I got a problem. I'm sick. I watched the first half of the Tennessee game.
Fans didn't watch the first half of the Tennessee
game. They did not. Well, they did not. Yeah, but I did, because I was just looking, and then I was like, you know what? I'm juiced. I want to watch some football. So I watched some football last night. And, yes, somebody asked me in my house, what in the hell are you doing watching the Georgia-Tennessee game? And my response was, I get paid to watch football, so leave me alone. Sure. Yeah. But I looked out there, and Trust was a right tackle. He's gone. Tate Radley's a right guard. He's gone. Jared Wilson, center, he's gone. Dylan Fairchild, he's gone. Monroe Freeland didn't play yesterday. So the five guys you went with were on the field last night, yesterday in Athens. There was a lot of opportunity for these guys. You want to kind of see how that plays out. A lot of young guys, man. A lot of young guys.
Absolutely. Got some love popping in here on the comment section. Weston Cook says, thank you. Info you provide from Woodstock, Georgia. Shout out to my people on Town Lake Parkway. Y'all got a great Chili's.
That place is booming, man.
Oh, my Woodstock. God. It's unbelievable. Woodstock's Atlanta now, man.
It's
really blown up. Ricky Shirley says, thanks for all y'all do. Love Dogs HQ. We love you, Ricky. We appreciate you, man. Jonathan says, I sure would have liked to watch the game. I think a lot of people would have, Jonathan. A lot of people agree with you. Derek said, appreciate y'all. Susie Dickerson says, the defense looks like 21 defense. I think we'll be okay this year. What do you guys think about it? And Derek said, Justin Williams and Chris Cole are going to be problems. People want to talk about this defense, Rusty, and I do too. Let's flip it over to the other side of the ball. Like I said, the trench is not exactly a place that you can evaluate during a spring game very well. But I'm curious from a physical standpoint, anybody that caught your eye? It sounds like Elijah Griffin really fits in well, and you wouldn't know much difference from him. Sounded like Nasir Johnson, also a guy that may have put himself in a little bit better shape than what he had previously been in coming in.
Also, Chase Linton, the freshman from North Atlanta. He had a couple of, you know, coming off the defensive end, I liked him a lot. I thought Zion Branch was a lot faster in person. I hadn't seen him enough. Obviously, I've seen the wide receiver several times, but I hadn't seen his brother. And when you're elevated and you see where we're sitting at, and you see a throw out into the flat, and you see a guy close down, and he flashes in front of you like, hey, man, that guy's got a little juice to him. So, Susie, I don't want to bust your bubble there. And she said, defense, like, you're never going to see another defense in the history of Georgia football ever. You will never see another defense at Georgia look like 2021. But I will say, Susie, they can always be good. So I say this all the time. People are like, hey, that's the next Roquan. Well, there's not many of those Roquans around, and you don't want to put that on there. I don't think they have the front that 2021 team having to go back and look, but doesn't mean they can't be good. I think these are some young guys. I think there's a lot of minutes there to be playing, but not quite ready to put them in with that 2021. I'm doing a story after this draft, man, after this 2021 draft, after this draft, and you go back and look. I've already got some notes. I've got the secret pad over here. And I'm telling you, Georgia's close to making history. One of the biggest histories you'll see with a team. And it started basically in 2020 with those guys and going through. So, you know, ready to see how this thing plays out. Very talented, but not around your parade. I really do think they can be good defensively. The biggest thing for Georgia, Jake, is to get off the field on third down. You know what I mean? Like, they could not – Georgia could not get off the field on third down last year. And that is something that that is not a staple of a Glenn Schumann defense. I'm sure that is something they looked at when they did self-scouting. How did we not – from my understanding, they felt like they had a lot of bust, a lot of player misalignment, those type of things. But that goes back to coaching, and coaching is taking responsibility. We got to figure out how we can coach these kids up not to have those third down busts. They had a lot of missed assignments on third down this past year.
Rusty, want to dive in here.
Hey, one quick, Daniel Harris with Derek T. That's a damn good point, because I'm telling you, Daniel Harris yesterday, he played great. And I'm telling you this, people kind of write him off. You don't write him off, because Daniel Harris yesterday, to me, was firmly the best defensive back on the field. Like, nobody's replacing him. So whoever's going to take minutes, it's going to be somewhere else. Because Daniel Harris yesterday, whew, he looked really good to me.
Yeah, that leads perfectly into my standouts from the spring game. And I'm curious, Rusty, Justin Williams, an incredible stat line. Jake Rose said he thought he might have been the best player on the field, offense or defense, period, either side of the ball. Said he just looked electric out there. Yeah. Obviously, you know, you saw some good things from Bo Walker. You saw some good things. I'm curious, who caught your eye? Who are the guys that people can be excited about moving into this thing? And I'm going to put you on the spot here about two guys, because I know everybody wants to know about them. And that's Ellis Robinson and DeMello Jones. Those are two guys that are waiting in the wings. And then you hear Daniel Harris comes out, puts together a really solid G-Day. That's going to make it tough for those guys 5 minutes. But is this thing going to kind of end up being maybe a four-headed beast back there at cornerback?
Very well could be. And that's what Georgia wants. Like, they want Ellis Robinson and DeMello Jones pushing Daniel Harris. You know, if the world is right for Georgia and Daniel Harris is as good as everybody thinks, Daniel Harris is out. He's going to the NFL. And then you just slide Ellis Robinson, DeMello Jones right in there for Dalen Everett and those two. And you have two freaking dudes at corner next year. You know what I mean? Those two kids are too talented not to play. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, I kind of thought there was an opportunity there for somebody to overcome Daniel Harris. And I think that Daniel Harris had a really good spring from what I heard. I'm telling you, yesterday, he was like locked down. Like, first drive, he had a pick, a couple of batted balls. I mean, he put the clamps on some people. I thought Ellis Robinson played better than DeMello yesterday. And I just got to watch quick. I thought Ellis Robinson, he gave up a touchdown to Kobe White in the corner of the end zone. But I thought DeMello gave up a couple of contested balls. He was there. You just got to make a play on the ball. You know, we've seen corners for Dalen Everett as a freshman. You know what I mean? He was always there. He just seemed like he couldn't make a play on the ball. Well, now he's more experienced. He makes a play on the ball, and he became that lockdown guy for you. Those kids are really talented. They're going to play. Don't take my words that they're sitting the bench. But I think Georgia's in a lot better spot at corner than I kind of thought going into the spring, and that's without Dalen Everett playing, who's probably their best corner right now.
Offensively, Rusty, who is it? Is it Bo Walker? Is it maybe one of those receivers that kind of grabbed your attention? I think
it's a guy that, you know, you kind of I didn't look at that game yesterday as Georgia versus Georgia. I looked at that game like, if I'm playing Georgia, who worries me? And to me, it's Kobe Young. Kobe Young, I know Noah Thomas was banged up a little bit and tried to go, but Kobe Young made two catches. He almost made a third catch. And you just can't, you know, just size. I bet you that everything this young man's went through, and his court case has been played out and it's cleared for him to be a University of Georgia student. So that stuff is past history for him. But, you know, missing the time and how quickly your world can change, I bet he has a newfound appreciation on playing football. And I'm just telling you, man, yesterday when I looked at Georgia, I thought, who's the guy offensively that if I'm playing him, like, this is the guy that worries me. And to me, it was Kobe Young yesterday.
Love to hear it. Definitely.
Big dude, man. That's a big ass dude in person now.
Yeah. Oh, last thing I'm going to ask you on this one, Rusty. The inside track on that second safety position. Malachi Starks obviously heading to the league. KJ Bolden, pencil him in. He's all world. You know that. Ja'Cory Thomas, is he the guy, man, right now?
I'm telling you, that's another guy that I on the dog walk, I said a couple weeks ago, I said, guys, I just penciled, they brought in three transfers. And again, they kind of pushed him and he's having to fight for his minutes, but here's a very experienced player. And, right now he seems like, to me, he looks really comfortable back there, and we'll see how this thing plays out. The one thing I will say for the transfers, I'm not writing those guys off, because I know this about Georgia's defense. That's two safeties and the two inside linebackers make all of the calls. So you have to know everything. Like, you have to be extremely smart, to be extremely kind of educated in this defense. So I would imagine these guys that transferred in are still learning, still figuring some things out, and make the calls. So I'm not writing those guys off yet, especially Zion Branch, too. I'm telling you, I liked him a lot yesterday, too. So there'll be some guys playing in out there, see how it goes. But, to play in that back end right now, I would imagine if Georgia played next Friday, if they had a game next Friday, a real game, it would be Ja'Cory Thomas and KJ Bolden in the back end.
And it sounds like, once again, we're in blood sport at the inside linebacker spot. I mean, the Kumite is on, brothers. We got them fighting out of this one. Justin Williams, Raylan Wilson out there, Chris Cole, CJ Allen. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches in the truest sense of the word, Rusty.
And he always, Coach Schumann's always played four. You know what I mean? He has rotated those guys in, and really the last couple of years he's been kind of in a different boat, because he's moved Jalen Walker out on the edge to rush. And, with Chris Cole, I'm just telling you, you kind of can see that coming with him. He's just a different guy, a little bit longer than Jalen Walker. So it'll be interesting. I don't know this for 100% fact. Somebody told me that Damon Wilson was like, it's going to be Chris Cole on third down. I'm going somewhere I can be the guy on third down. Maybe that's – I don't know 100%, but, you look at the way they've used Jalen Walker and they've had a lot of success, and this guy's going to be a top 10 pick now. Can Chris Cole, play some inside backer and they use him on third down? Because I can tell you one thing Chris Cole can do. You do not have to play dime with him, because he can cover. And just ask the Texas tight end, because that Texas tight end, he clamped his ass down twice, two games. I think he had one catch. When he was one-on-one with Chris Cole, and you start getting the nerd part about dime and substitute and all that. When you don't have to take a linebacker off the field because you trust him in coverage, Georgia's got a real good, what I would say, problem with Chris Cole on the field.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, a good problem to have, too. Great shades.
Met them yesterday. Great people. Great people, man.
Shane and Mary Heist came and hung out with Dogs HQ Live. You can go check that out at Redstone Market on Saturday. Fantastic interview with him. Some great stuff. I put him on the spot. He would not commit to firing Stacey Searles on air, so I couldn't get him to do that. But, guys, look, get over and check out sunheist.com. Use code DOGSHQ20. That's DAWGSHQ20. And you can get 20% off your first purchase. Look, they sent us a pair, man, incredibly lightweight frames. The polarization's incredible on these things. So ditch your cheap shades, man. Go get you some cheap, these are not cheap shades, but they are inexpensive compared to the big guys, all right? They're not going to break the bank on you. They can handle the heat of a Saturday in Athens. You want to go hiking, this is the perfect pair, too. They are super high quality, durable, they're super light. So forget the flimsy shades that fall apart and go check out sunheist.com. They are built for adventure. Like I said, tailgating, the lake, campus, wherever you're going, they're a good partner to have with you. And they're a Georgia-based company. They're out of Jefferson, Georgia. Fantastic people. They believe in the dogs. They support the dogs. They support One Tree Planted. So get over to Dogs HQ20. That's D-A-W-G-S HQ20. 20% discount on all orders. All right. You can get over there and check that out. They are great folks to do business with. They are great folks to work with. They got this stuff shipped to your house immediately. Get over, support people who support us and support the dogs, man. Shane and Mary, fantastic people. Know you enjoyed hanging out with them on Saturday.
I did, man. I had a couple of subscribers DM me and say, hey, I bought the glasses from Sunheist just because never heard of them. With that 20% off, they were like, I'll try it. One of our subs, I won't call him out, but he's a good board insider for us. He sent me a picture and said, "Hey, man, I love these glasses. I would recommend them." So, you know, not only they sponsor us and help us do things, this is an easy product. If your summer's here, I guess lifetime warranty, whatever they're telling me, whatever.
Yeah, so, on the polarization, I believe so. Yeah, the frames are super durable, but they're super lightweight. Shane mentioned that the other day, and it really is crazy. You put them on your face, man, they sit there all day. You kind of forget they're there.
Yep.
Speaking of other partners of ours and friends of ours, My Perfect Franchise, Andy Ludeke, and the folks. Look, if you've been listening to the show, you know about Andy Ludeke and
MyPerfectFranchise.net.
If you are a displaced corporate executive, you're somebody who wants to put your career in your own hands, you want to take control of your life and your finances and your world professionally, contact Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net. They can help you diversify. They can help you get into the game. He is a franchise veteran. He's owned multiple franchises, multiple businesses. He takes all that expertise and he helps people find their American dream through a thorough consultation evaluation process. He'll help you put your life and career in your own hands. His services are free to you. So what do you have to lose? And you can find your perfect franchise today at MyPerfectFranchise.com. All right, Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
.net, I'm sorry. My Perfect Franchise.
Yeah, man. I have Andy calling you now.
All right. Last thing here, Rusty. Today, we're going to talk about big recruiting weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. They start Saturday morning off landing a commitment. 3-star Keelan Jones, a safety out of Sprayberry High School. Look, if you want to go watch some good defensive back play this season, go watch Sprayberry play. My God, Jordan Edmonds.
Dude,
back
I saw there. Mark Manfred, last year.
The embarrassment of riches back there. But Keelan Jones, a guy Georgia got in on early and really kind of put the clamps on. I believe they offered back in January. Michigan's been involved in this thing. Auburn, I think he had an offer from. So there were multiple players in this one, Rusty, but he opts to stick in state, mentioned that his whole family's Georgia fans. You know, that's something that's very deep with him. I believe his mom attended Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So a lot of ties there. I don't know if you've had a chance to see him in person.
Oh, yeah.
Get some of the scuttle. Okay, well, give us the scouting report on Keelan Jones.
Dude, I went to see them play Creekview, I believe. It was one of the games on TV we did this year. And to be honest with you, I didn't know a ton about Sprayberry. I know they had a pretty decent year. I didn't know any of these kids. I knew they had a corner that was, you know, Manfred was a guy that I knew, and I always kind of do the walk pregame on the field, watching them warm up. And I looked at Sprayberry's secondary. I was like, what is going on over here? Like, my goodness, man. And, you know, got a chance to see him play. And I think Kirby went to see him play basketball in January, which is a big deal for Kirby. He loves that basketball evaluation on athletes. And this is a guy, I will say this, that, you know, he's not the highest rated prospect there. But, you know, they got really good players. Those three kids, and they got another defensive lineman, I believe. They got four major college players at Sprayberry. But you know, there's a guy in that program that I trust that told us. He goes, look, man, there's some highly rated kids over here. That dude right there, there's not a better football player in this school than him. And, you know, that was a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I think Georgia, he checks the box for Georgia. Physicality, can run, cover, in-state kid. And then they're starting to – you're starting to see a little bit, Jake, with these in-state offers.
Yeah,
you're starting
to see a little bit. You would think you get a quarterback out of California, and maybe he wants to stick with your program for a long time, and then suddenly he's out there shopping himself around. So, look, ain't no loyalty in the game anymore, brother. Ooh, we know that.
Well, you start talking about your mom went to Georgia, that starts checking boxes too, man. Your lifelong Bulldog fan, and when people know what hobnail boot is,
that means a little bit. I'm gonna have you screwing the dog, I mean, you can't mess with mama's dog. So I get that for sure. No, Keelan Jones, though, I like the pickup, man. Physical player, that's the thing that gets me. Big physical, or a physical guy back there in the secondary. They love that, man. Just a nasty player. You know, gives you those Rashawn Dinkins, Javon Bullard, you know, guys that just put the nose down. They're not gonna be the flashiest dudes coming out of high school, maybe necessarily, but they are gonna play hard. Knows tough football
and state.
Georgia hosted a number of guys this weekend. Mark Bowman, 5-star tight end on campus with the Dogs, spoke with Steve Wiltfong, gave some pretty nice quotes about that. Any buzz off of this Bowman business?
You know, we'll dig into that on Monday for sure, but you know, I just it's every bit is important, you know what I mean, with this kid. And you know, that I've said this I said it Saturday, and I'll say it again. He's the surest bet in high school football this year in his class. Like, if you tell me who's going to be a star, who's going to be in 3 years, he's guaranteed this is going to be a dude. To me, it's Mark Bowman. Regardless of position, it doesn't mean he's the best, only player. But to me, he is the safest pick. If you want to say, give me a bona fide superstar in the 2026 class, it starts for me, Mark Bowman. This guy's a can't miss. He's a bad dude now. And, you know, he wears 19. He's from California. Brock Bowers has met him. Trust me, Brock Bowers is trying to help Georgia for sure with him. He's going to take his visits. I think Georgia's in a good spot. This one is not over, but it does not hurt you to have this guy. I tell you, Lincoln Keys, a kid out of Michigan, was here this weekend too, and Lincoln is trying to help recruit him. You know what I mean? Right. He's like, I want to get him here with me. And
Prothrow was in town.
Caden Prothrow was in town. So somebody asked me all the time, you know, would Georgia take all three? It'd be crazy not to. I mean, it's the success they've had at tight end. And, you know, there's only so many of those athletic types to me in each class. If you get three of those guys, but Lincoln Keys, that kid to me, everybody kind of forgets about because he's committed early and he went and worked out for Georgia. I think he visited last June.
Yep.
And then he worked out for Georgia, I think, in the end of July last year.
Yep.
And it was wrap. Like, they had seen enough. Like, that.
That was the case everywhere he went, seemingly, last summer. I mean, that's what people forget about Lincoln Keyes. And they say, oh, well, whatever. We'll go take Mark Bowman. We'll talk. Alabama. He went there. He got the offer. Michigan. Yep. He went there. He got the offer. If that dude touched down on a campus and worked out, he got the offer walking away. So everybody's seeing the same thing across college football with Lincoln Keyes.
No doubt. We'll see. That was a big visit weekend. They had two officials. We're going to follow up with all those things. And really and truthfully, now, my goodness, I hope somebody has hacked Susie Dickerson. We'll get to that comment.
I was leaving that one.
I know my man's lost some weight, but Lord, don't blow his head up. My God, Susie.
It's as large as it is.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. We got to talk about it. I mean, the portal opens this week, and this is 10 days. And according to Pete Nakos, who he's got a lot of street cred right now, he says, I talked to him, and he goes, Rusty, Georgia's going to be – I think Georgia's about to spend some money in this portal.
Okay.
And I have said I think Georgia's going after an edge. There's no question in my mind that if they can get an experienced edge player, they're going to go after – if there's an edge guy, you know – right now, if a really good quarterback goes into the portal, the first thing in your mind, you're going to think is Tennessee, period.
Right.
That's exactly what you're thinking. If a big edge, like an alpha dude, goes into the portal, the first thing I'm thinking is Georgia's all over this guy. There's no question. Because the opportunity to play, potentially even start, but play real minutes at Georgia and what they have done at that position draft-wise and all that, it would have to be attractive to me. And I think that position, when Damon Wilson left, that opened up a ton of minutes, a ton of reps. You know, they like to rotate guys there, but they don't have a lot of experience. Right there. They got some talented kids, but they don't have a ton of experience right there. If there's an alpha edge that jumps in this portal the next 10 days, you better watch Georgia because they're going to be on that, in my opinion.
I can definitely see that. Look, guys. They're wrapping up the semester, recruiting about to really heat up in a major way. This is one of those weekends that sets the stage for everything. So get over to Dogs HQ. I know we're going to have some follow-up stuff coming out of these visits for sure throughout the week. But also, too, official visits will be kicking off before we know it. I mean, it's all starting to come to a head on the recruiting side of things. So get over, make sure you tune in with all of that. Rusty, any parting thoughts for the people out there?
No, somebody told me I told me yesterday, I'm coming back for scavenger hunt. And I was like, is it that time already?
Yeah,
like,
right.
We're a month away from scavenger hunt. One scavenger hunt's here. Like, it's on. So,
hey, my man Justin Hart says, Rusty, we are wearing the tees we got yesterday at Red Star.
Hey, gotcha, man. All right, good meet you yesterday. Yeah, we had – look, those are – I told everybody.
Justin got the T-shirt. I don't even have the T-shirt. This is limited edition gear here, man.
I'm trying to make sure Roe behaves this weekend. Bruce behaves before I send him stuff. But appreciate you coming by yesterday, Justin. And it was good turnout. And it was awesome, man, to meet people. And we had people there early. And that is a great place. I'm telling you, that's a I looked at that guy yesterday. I said, look, man, this is icing on the cake for that. They had smoked wings. They had boxes of smoked wings. Like, you walk in, get your smoked wings. Biggest thing they got gas pumps.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you know what I mean, you can ease in there, gas. Anywhere you can get smoked wings and gas.
Come on. Forget
you
about
can roll
it.
Out, dog. Listen, roll listen, out.
Here's my thought. I'm picking up. I'm going to the game. I'm picking up smoked wings on the way out, and I'm throwing the bones out the window. I mean, that's a classic move, man. That's an old school move. So,
I hear you, man.
Look, guys, get over to Dogs HQ. Be a big week for us for sure. Like I said, all the fallout from G-Day, all the recruiting to be covered. You know the NFL draft is creeping up on us, too. A big one for the Dogs. But you can get over and hang with us over on the Dog Walk if you have fun over here with us on the live. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back with you probably a couple of times this week. We might work a plus in. We might have another Georgia show later this week. Just stay tuned. We'll get you taken care of. Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. We'll see you soon.